May thy knife chip and shatter. A nice line, isn't it?
Butler does that, but he does it in the voice of Skarsgård, doesn't he? His voice.
Yeah, isn't it weird that he's like... And of course they've got young Skarsgård, haven't they, who they could have cast. Alexander Skarsgård. I thought it was him. It wasn't it. Until I realised Austin Butler's got a weird... His gap between his nose and his mouth is too big, isn't it? Have you noticed that?
No.
You look at a picture of Austin Butler, that gap there is too big. But because the Harkonnen looks so weird, it kind of suited the character.
Which gap?
Between there and there. I don't know what you call it.
His top lip.
Yeah.
His lip.
The gap is too big.
The infranasal depression, I think you call it. Is that what you called it?
What?
But I believe his Austin Butler, if you look at him, his face looks too long.
Austin Butler.
Long face.
Harkonnen.
Long face.
No, just in real life.
Oh, in real life.
So let me show you.
Because they made his eyebrows more he had quite a makeup job on that, this film.
Welcome to the podcast, by the way. We're recording. I've sent you a picture. Look at that. His nose is too high up.
What?
On a character creator.
Well, on that photo, yeah, sure. Because that's just his nose and his lips.
All right, well, there's the whole photo. His nose is fucked. His nose is too high.
He's got a very long face with a very big forehead.
I think
forehead.
He's got a very feminine face. Yeah. That's why he's so beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah, he's got the kind of Cupid's bow.
Would you call that beautiful?
He's got the Cupid.
He looks like a little freak to me. And as thus was well cast.
He looks like an 80s female movie star.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
If they were in a character creator in a game and you'd put the nose slider...
He looks a bit like the girl from Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Yeah, he does.
Does a bit, yeah. If she had a fucked up nose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, this week we're here to talk about Dune Part 2. Not just about Austin Butler's weird face.
In a minutiae, literally deconstruct the face of each actor.
Yeah, we're going to go through everyone's face.
I mean, it works for when he did Elvis perfectly, really, didn't he, his face? Cause...
I've not seen that.
Oh, yeah, it's great.
Have you seen the Sophia Coppola one?
Priscilla. Is that any
one of the worst films I've ever seen.
Oh, wow.
Absolutely awful.
Mm. Ooh.
A real corker. A real stinker. It's a real... Yeah. It's funny, because they've got the rights to Graceland, because it's like official or whatever.
Yeah.
So they've got the exterior shots, but they obviously didn't get the rights to film inside, right? And it's quite a cheap film. So they have, they go inside Graceland, and there's a dining room where him and the lads are playing pool or whatever, and there's a little seating area where Priscilla sits, and that is it. So it's as though Graceland is like a long bungalow, because they never show the rest of the house because they couldn't afford to shoot it. It's so cheap.
That's weird.
Also not relevant.
Was that made by? Was it? What is it? Her that's allowed that, or
it's in it, Priscilla Presley was involved in the making of it.
Have you seen Agent Elvis?
No, I haven't seen that, no.
See, that... We're way off topic, but we might as well carry on. That is a Netflix cartoon created by Priscilla Presley.
Oh, right.
And in it, it's really violent, loads of swearing, and basically Elvis is a special agent for the government. And it's actually quite good fun, and it's got a lot of, real events, but then put through this kind of weird filter of,
Matthew McConaughey doing the voice of Elvis.
Yeah, it's quite good. I thought it'd be terrible, but it's actually quite good fun. And it's completely 100%, her. So, yeah.
We're at least 5 minutes in, so let's get round to what we're actually meant to be talking about. Dune Part 2. Elvis Presley's not in this film.
No.
Oh.
Right, well, you got something else to add, Chris?
No.
You can?
No.
Okay, right. So this film... it's Dune Part 2. Have you seen it yet, Alex?
No, I still haven't seen it, but I'm happy for you to...
What a loser.
I know.
No, we're gonna spoil it.
It works in the cinema as well.
I know. It isn't in my cinema yet. It will be. Also, this is the film that you guys said this was it. This is it for the year. You said this film is the most anticipated film, so that's it for the year now.
I mean, it is.
I'm actually also interested in that Civil War one, about this war in America. I'm quite interested in that. That'll basically be what happens.
Yeah. I don't like the bloke, though. What's his name? Alex Garland.
Oh. No.
No, he's a bit rubbish, yeah.
Annihilation was crap. And Men. Have you seen Men?
No. Is that any good?
Yeah, that's a bit weird.
Weird film, that is.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, this one.
Dune Part 2. Alex hasn't seen it. You saw the first one, though. So before we talk about this, the first Dune, you loved it, didn't you?
Oh, I loved Alex. It. Great. Brilliant.
Chris, you loved it.
Loved it.
We're talking about Dune Part 1.
It's my favourite film at the moment. Yeah. I watch it regular on the reg. I watched it last night.
Wow.
Did you? I watched it to the night before we saw Dune Part 2, which was a good idea because it does go straight into it, doesn't it?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Good tip.
So, Part 2. Well, let's just start with, what do you think, Chris?
Well, you know the story because it's the same as the 80s film, right?
Yeah.
It's just half of the film.
Yeah.
Mostly the same.
Yeah. I liked the world building more in the first one, only because I didn't know anything about Dune.
Yeah.
And they do a lot of really good and well executed explanations in the first film.
Unlike the David Lynch one, which did very bad explanations.
Yeah. Because you're learning about Arrakis with the Atreides as they arrive. So the learning process is great in the first one.
Yeah.
Now, the second one is a different type of film. It's more like Lawrence of Arabia, or it really harks back to that type of thing, doesn't it, Sam?
Mm.
I think.
It reminded me a lot of Empire Strikes Back.
Oh, okay.
Like a hell of a lot, in the sense that you're in it, and you're just in it, and the way it ends as well, and the way it's kind of a bit dark, and...
Mm.
Like, the things are in motion and just going, you know what I mean? Like, there's no...
Yeah.
Like, how the world exists and you're in it kind of thing. Obviously, like, it's got the scope. You're right, it's very Lawrence of Arabia. But I think in the kind of the terms of where... It feels like a middle of a trilogy, doesn't it? It feels, to me, very much like a middle of a trilogy.
Mm. Okay.
Or like Two Towers, Lord of the Rings, Two Towers. So I felt like that as well. But you liked it, Chris. Did you like it as much as the first film, or were you overall...
You know what? No, I didn't. But I might have to watch it a couple more times. I just found it, because it's all in the desert, this one. It's very, very samey visually.
Apart from one bit.
Apart from one. Arcona one scene. Yeah, one collection of scenes. And I didn't feel like there was as many, like, bonkers, like, things. Like,
What do you mean? What was like, bonkers?
You know, I mean... You know, like in the first one, you had that like little spider creature, and in the first, you know, there was just little things that they just dropped you on the first one, and there wasn't so much of that in the second one. I wasn't like, oh, what's that? Oh, what's that?
And
some of it is because you'd seen a lot of it had already been established.
Yes.
So, and of the Harkonnen planet, it was interesting because it was all done in that UV camera.
It's infrared, isn't it? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Infrared.
Whatever. Yeah, so they go to... So the way it's shot, Alex, is the Harkonnen bit, it's almost like a little like short film in the middle of the film, because they go to it and they're there for about 20 minutes and they don't come back. It's really...
Oh, that's cool.
Which I think is stylistically really good, because it's shot infrared, so it looks like it's monochrome, but it's not like a black and white film. It's super stark, and they've got this black sun, which looks really cool. And like, there's a big what is it? It's like, is it his birthday? It's Fade's birthday, isn't it? Is that what's going on? I can't remember what the reason... It is his birthday, yes. There's like a big like tournament, basically. Mm. And all these fireworks going off. But the fireworks are like ink. Like splats of ink in the air. They look really cool. There's like a big, big stadium. And it's the aesthetic they have in Harkonnen's like ship in the first one. But it's on a much bigger scale.
Yeah.
I think it's my favourite bit of the film. Did you like it, Chris? Were you on board with that whole section?
Yeah. Yeah.
It really sells me being alien, doesn't it? And different to the Atreides. It like it. You get that, like, humanity is fractured so much that, like, yes, Harkonnen and Atreides are both human.
Yeah.
But the Harkonnen are so fucking weird compared to what the Atreides are, you know? There's all this, like, weird stuff with, like, he's got, like, these, like, concubines that he just, like, murders, and he's, like, these pet women that he feeds body parts to and stuff like that.
Twinks.
Yeah. And it's. A lot of like, you know, like lots of like knife licking. You know, like characters that like to lick a bit of blood off a knife. Yeah. Lots of that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Okay. Was Zendaya good?
Yeah, she's great. I mean, she's a superstar now, isn't she? Yeah. She's just I thought she was good in Spider-Man. I've always thought
she's
great.
Yeah,
she's
good
actor.
In Spider-Man.
Natural actor. Yeah. I'm not getting any sort of bullshit from her. Like when you
good.
My only thing, right? Did you not think that she lost her accent about 20 minutes into this film? That she had an accent in June 1, I know she's not in it much, but she's attempting to sound a bit more like
an Arab.
Totally, but she drops it. She drops it. As soon as like they make friends, I think she stops doing it. She sounds like she's in Spider-Man again. Do you notice that?
Yes, I did notice that.
Okay, yeah. It's not just me. Right. Yeah, Javier Bardem, I think, was the best. He's the best in the film.
And actually, they're starting to tweak. They're tweaking in a little bit of comedy, aren't they, with him, which is kind of interesting.
Okay. Yeah.
That's good.
But he really sells. He's like a fanatic believer. He's like, they say fundamentalist about 50,000 times, but he's like, he is the you know, the jihadi sort of character who like really, really believes in the idea of Muad'Dib as like the saviour.
Yeah.
And I think he really sells it, like that he's so religiously devoted, but also kind of a badass warrior, you know.
Yeah.
He's great in it. I think he was great, wasn't he? He's really...
And does it feel like... So do you reckon, what, they're going to finish it all up in another one?
Or... They've got to do the third part, yeah.
I mean, it just goes... It goes batshit soon, doesn't it? So,
yeah.
Okay. I don't know anything about them, but I kind of know. I know what happens essentially. But it starts jumping quite a lot of time, doesn't it, between generations soon after that next book?
Yeah. Like, so, well, they weren't. I don't think the film passed. June Messiah, the second one, is the.
You
is
think?
The conclusion
I think this
story.
Could just keep on going.
They're not going to do it because I think I mentioned it to on a previous podcast. Yeah, but yeah. They by book four, the Leto 2 is a basically a huge worm man hybrid.
But that's the shit you want to see in a film.
It's not. They're not going to film it. It's too fucking strange. And that whole film is basically this giant worm man sad that he can't fuck anymore. That's the whole book. It's like...
How many pages is it?
It's a long book. And a lot of it is basically... It's him moaning to...
Stranger things has happened.
They, you know, what's his name? Jason Momoa. His character is brought back to life. He'll probably be in the third film.
Right.
Okay. And he's still around... 4,000 years in the future, this worm dude, and it's the worm just like saying to Jason Momoa, I fucking miss having sex, man. It's just loads of that. It's really weird.
It's like maybe they could get Woody Allen to direct it. It sounds like some kind
of maybe. Yeah, it would work. Yeah, but it's got a very cool ending.
That's what I want to see. I want to see it go apeshit.
I would as well. I mean, like, hopefully, they'll get Children of Dune, the third one, where they have the kids at like Paul will be in that one. It'll be the kids. That is my favorite of the books. It's really, really, really good.
Okay, but if he spends two films to make the next book, that's going to be six films.
I think it's a trilogy. I think you can finish a story in one more film. Okay. Dune Messiah is a strange book, and they've changed what they're doing with the kids. Like by now in the books, Paul has had a child, which that hasn't happened in this film at all.
Yeah,
and they show. Do you know about Queen's Gambit lady in the film, Alex?
No.
So they flash forward to basically like Paul's mum Jessica has got an unborn child.
Oh yeah, I remember her from the leech one, yeah.
And they show her. It's Queen's Gambit ladies. Her.
Oh.
So clearly they're making the third film and they've cast her for the third film. You aren't going to get her for like a 30-second cameo, are you? Without
not really, no. No, not unless you are. Battle Angel Attilio, whatever it was, and you've got Edward Norton for 2 seconds at the end.
Yes, yeah. You could.
I don't think he's actually even written the next one yet, so
it's obviously
not greenlit.
That ending, though, like they the end of the film. Do you know the end of the film, Alex? You don't mind the end of the film?
No, tell me.
So the film ends like Paul marries the emperor. He defeats the emperor, and he marries the empress, the daughter of the emperor. Right?
I remember
that happens in the book. Yeah. But in the book, it's funny. Like in the book, Charney, like and Zendaya is like, do it. Like this is the political. You need to do it for political reasons. But in the film, she is not on board at all. And she's fucked off. So that's very different.
Okay.
But anyway, so the end of the film is the Atreides and the Sand People, the what they called the
Fremen.
The Fremen. Flying off into the galaxy to fuck shit up, basically. They're taking over the galaxy.
Wow.
And he ends on that in the film. And you can't not show that now.
No, that seems a bit... You'd be disappointed if that was it.
It's going to be a great story of... Because I think that's what Dune is ultimately about, right? Is how power changes people. And it's a lot more tastefully done than Star... I just wish the new Star Wars films were done with like an iota of this sort of taste.
Oh,
like,
definitely. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, by the end of June, Paul isn't really a good guy. Paul isn't the hero, and I think they're going to show that, basically, and that is a real brave thing for a film on this scale. That's the thing about this these June films, is it is such, it is still a blockbuster, isn't it? It looks amazing. It sounds absolutely unlike anything. And yet, like you say, Chris, it is managing to tell a more nuanced story about faith and power and leadership, you know.
I just love how I know that's what June is about, but how it's so like feudal.
Yeah.
And it feels like ancient Rome, or like you could, it's like, it is like Lord of the Rings you're watching. And it's like, we'll have a battle here. Now we're going to run off somewhere else. But instead of running, they're getting on a spaceship. And it's like, it's
better than Lord of the Rings. It's more nuanced, because Lord of the Rings essentially is big bad versus big good. And it's very Christian concepts of that sort of thing. Whereas Dune is much more nuanced than that. As I say, the way Paul is, he's a religious icon, but he isn't. And he is bought into the hype now, like that he is the saviour.
Yeah.
And they're going to show that he isn't all it's cracked up to be, you know.
Yeah.
But you could see how the, you know, the Bene Gesserits have like controlled the bloodlines and stuff like that. It's so like that is really good. And they haven't really kept any of that secrecy back, have they? They've like been drip feeding it. So like, even in the first film they mentioned that they control the bloodlines. So you know, it's because that is such an interesting part of it.
Yeah.
It's great.
And something that you could easily see them excising from a film like this, couldn't you? Like a big blockbuster, you can see them just dropping all of that.
Yeah.
And then the fact they don't is brilliant, that they can actually...
Yeah, I just like that idea of, like, that they have religion in it, and they have, like, Jedi-type things, and they're darker, and they are more realistic to us, I think. Like,
there's
loads of, you know, notes of, like, insurgency and Afghanistan and Iraq and...
Yeah.
Wars there, and I say like Lawrence of Arabia and all of that. It's so good.
What did you think of Christopher Walken as the Emperor?
He didn't really do anything for me. Yeah. It's like they wheeled him out and he was just like this sad old man.
Yeah.
They didn't give him much to do.
Yeah.
And ultimately I found the whole changing of the power at the end, the fight and him losing power, I didn't really buy into that, actually, how like he landed with like this ship which like converts into like a temporary palace, which is pretty cool.
It looks cool, doesn't it?
Yeah, and it just didn't make a lot of sense, really. I don't know how you can be the Emperor of the known universe but still like walk into this sort of trap.
It's a bit silly. Also, like the his guard never really, what they call the Sadduk
or something like that.
Show that they're kind of the nation's, the universe's badasses, do they, really?
No, they're like stormtroopers.
No, okay.
Yeah.
While we're doing things that were wrong, the thing that annoyed me was that, like, Fade takes over the control of Arrakis because Batista's fucked it all up. And his, like, big military innovation is that he works out that, like, there's no shields on the sieges where the Fremen are, so he uses artillery to bombard them, and they cut to like the room, and Skarsgård's there, and he's like, "Oh yes, well done. You're thinking about this incredible revolution." It's like, there's no one thought about just bombing the shit out of them. Surely, if you've got, you know, a global power, you bomb the shit out of everything, don't you?
Yeah,
you just bomb the shit. That's what you're doing.
Don't even go down. Just do it for orbit.
It's not that revolutionary, is it?
Yeah, I did read that apparently, like, the Harkonnen, they're a bit meant to be a bit thick, and that, like, maybe it's that, but I think it's just lazy.
There wasn't any interesting characters, like, in the first one, you know, they had that, like, that evil Mentat guy.
Yes.
He was really great.
Yeah.
You know, I needed more of those ancillary characters that was in the first ones. Like, in the first one, you had the Jason Idaho and the other guy, the two military guys, which were quite interesting. Well, he came back, obviously, in this one.
Josh Brolin's come back.
You can just see all the things that George Lucas nicked, though, can't you?
Definitely. Yeah, I think the problem is, like, there is too much story to tell in this one, isn't there? Because and that's why you lose a lot of that. And also, there's a couple of like jumps where he goes off for his walkabout, and they're like, "Oh, you're going to go into the desert and become a man now."
Yeah,
and they don't show it, do they? They just cut back to it, and now he's become like a badass. He's taken down a sandcrawler. And they've clearly cut a bit out there for time or whatever, which... and there's a bit later on when he goes to drink the water of life, when, you know, he just turns up there And then they cut back, and now, oh, Zendaya's out here and she's mad. And it feels really rushed, that bit, I think, as well.
Oh, so you think there's a bigger, longer cut then?
But apparently Villeneuve won't do deleted scenes or director's cuts. He says that, like, he just doesn't do them. He's like, this is the version. So, of course, 20 years down the line, somebody will do it. But there's not going to be, like, there's no deleted scenes on the June. Okay.
There was some large characters, I think, with, like, some big names that got completely cut on the film.
Yeah, it's a shame. Like, because I'd sit there for 4 hours and watch it. I've got no. It's looked so incredible.
Yeah, I wasn't watching. I wasn't looking at my watch though. I was in the IMAX, in the middle of the IMAX. Like it was the best sort of setting. It was great.
How long is it? It's about 2.5 hours, isn't it? I think it's It's not that long.
It felt a bit I went in at 4 and came out at like 8. So it was like it was.
But yeah, I mean, and it is. It's definitely worth seeing at the cinema, Alex, because like the first one, it is a visual and audio treat.
It's nice to have films like that you do think, oh, you should see at the cinema. That's what you kind of want, isn't it? It's a proper blockbuster.
Well, I'm just glad that there are, like, properly... What I like about it, it's serious sci-fi. Like, there's no possibility of, like, a Jar Jar Binks or a...
No.
Not that I think but Jar Jar Binks is a particularly bad thing, but it's nice that nothing's going to go goofy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's sad though, isn't it? That like this, because it makes money. They make a lot of money, don't they?
Yeah.
Like, and so why aren't there more of them? Intellectually stimulating.
Yeah, he didn't.
Well, it's him and Christopher Nolan. Nolan's the only ones. Who...
But Christopher Nolan's a bit of a lie, isn't it? It's not that intellectual.
Really. No.
Like Tenet.
No, I agree.
Isn't.
Yeah. Well, and Oppenheimer, I always thought was really overrated. I didn't get the buzz with that.
Yeah.
Well, and Inception, we watched that again, wasn't that great?
Yeah.
I mean, this Villeneuve's doing Rendezvous with Rama next, apparently, hopefully, which is another hard sci-fi universe, which would be fantastic to see. It would be amazing to see. Yeah. So that's good.
I'm glad that he's doing it, these things. Yeah. It is good.
And it wasn't loads and loads of money, was it? It's not really expensive, I don't think.
190 million.
It looks and feels quality, though.
It does.
He only gets away with it because it takes itself so serious, but they only get away with that because it is so fucking quality. Like, there is nothing dodgy about any of it. Like, and I think sometimes they cover, like Disney especially, like they cover up that it's like a bit dodgy in the CG because it's like a bit, it's goofy.
Yeah, definitely.
Also, Disney, their quality control has gone out the window, hasn't it? Like, I haven't seen a Marvel film in years that hasn't looked terrible. They look so much worse than they used to.
And they're starting to look CG, very, very similar. That's the saddest thing. They're all just starting to
And also, like, the weight's gone. Like, all the fights, they don't look really... Yeah. They look so much worse than, like, the Avengers, whatever ones did, Infinity War, didn't they?
Yeah.
But, no. There's also, this benefits from, like... The design of it is so... every ship looks just absolutely brilliant and unique, not like a rip-off something else. They look...
Oh, that's good.
We mentioned it last week that like some of the visual language is borrowed from old Dune.
Yeah.
But it's so much more... I don't know what
it has weight and it has mechanical functionality, doesn't it? It makes sense.
Yeah.
And there's a scene where they're attacking one of these crawlers...
Yeah,
and there's like gunships trying to get them, and it's very good.
Yeah.
So there's a point is you can't shoot things at things with shields before you take the shield down. Is that the idea? Because then it'll just
because the shield things. I think the way the shields work, I think, is that any fast projectile just bounces off it, doesn't it? And you have to sort of bore through it to get through the shield.
But if you use, lasers, like people don't have blasters there, because if they hit shields, it causes a massive explosion.
I think so, yeah. Which is
causes, a nuke.
Which is why those big line things seem to be so effective. Yeah.
Cool.
It is, the crawler bit is great. They're, the Fremen, they sit underground, Alex, and they're they just show their, breathing tubes.
Oh, that's cool.
And it's very, very well shot, that whole bit is very...
And the Harkonnen crawlers, and then the Harkonnen... Mm.
What Villeneuve can do that Nolan can't do is he can shoot an action scene without having to just wobble the camera about a lot. That's what I hate about Nolan films is that he can't shoot action. So he just goes like this a lot and people just throw themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the famous Dark Knight Rises, but all the stunt people just punch themselves in the face.
Yeah.
But you couldn't make this film on film.
No.
How Chris Nolan worked. Like,
No.
This is using the best of what is available. Mm. This is great.
Oh yeah. It's a film you couldn't have made, like 10 years ago, could you even? It's so otherworldly, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. Very good.
Good one.
Do you want a quick quiz?
Yes.
Let's have a quick quiz.
Right, so you've got separate quizzes. Sam, yours is a Reddit June Book One quiz hardcore version.
I'm going to get cut on this, though.
Written by just a person.
Hardcore.
Chris is a Quizbit June quiz. So here you go. So Chris, you can go first. What does Spice allow Spacing Guild navigators to do?
It gives them some prescience. So when navigating, they can choose the right course because they know which one would be fatal.
Yeah. A better answer than I've got. I've just got interstellar travel. So you get that.
Oh. Okay. Well, that's obvious.
Okay.
And they're literally folding space. Yeah. I love that concept that they're actually like, when they do travel, they just fold space over.
Well, it's nice in these films because it's not clear actually how it all works because you just see like their tubes,
but you see
the space in through it. Sorry. So you don't know whether really they've cool. You don't know whether they've set up tubes in every above every planet. Yeah. And it's basically like a Stargate.
Yeah.
Or this thing has moved, but you're seeing like the old reflection of where they come from through the drive.
Wow.
As such.
Okay.
You never see the Space Guild either, do you? In the second one, even. They're not in it, are they, at all?
No, that's what I mean. There's no... Yeah. Like, in the first one, they had lots of, like, bits of ancillary stuff, which I love. You know, when the guy comes down and does the proclamation and... Yeah. I love all that. Like, all the bits and pieces.
You know the guy who's... Is it... What's the guy's name? You know the quite fat bloke who's already on the planet. I love that actor.
That Mentat guy is great.
Yeah, he's really good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you're right. I do miss things like that. You're right.
Sam. Right, here we go. So this is setting you the level, right? What is it? The gladiator had drawn in blood on the left hip of his leotards.
Why are my questions like primary school questions?
Well, because Sam's like such a mega fan and he's read the book.
I'm not a mega fan. I've read the book. I'm not a mega fan.
Well,
you know. I don't think I'm a mega fan. I think I've read the book. And that was about like 10 years ago. Okay. So, ask me that again. What was it? A gladiator?
I don't like to be
pandered to.
Oh,
okay, right.
Well, can I have one of Chris's questions then, please? Because I'm not going to get that. I don't know who the gladiator is.
All right. How about this? Gurney Halleck plays the Balisette. Yes. How many strings does it have?
Oh, bloody hell. 10.
Oh, 9. You're very near. Okay.
So well, that's a different sort of Balisette, you see. I play the more or less 10-string version.
Yeah, the bass Balisette.
I'll give you a bit of a harder one then, Chris. What year is June set in?
It's set in something like 20,000, but they only number them from the invention of interstellar drive, which was from 10,000. So they always say something in the 10,000s. Actually, 20,
we've got the wrong list.
I think I'm gonna have to swap. Well, yeah.
I've been really reading up on my lore.
I'm gonna have to swap this over then. Okay, right. Well, what? Okay, give you an easy one, Sam. What? When Leto is incapacitated, what is one of his teeth replaced with to aid his assassination?
Poison. This is just like basic plot points, isn't it? Though.
Well, yeah. But the other one
is a vial. It's like a poison vial. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'll give you a hard one then, Chris. What does spice taste like?
Oh, I know this.
Oh. You've got two answers here.
Fuck, I know this. Ah, shit. It's something like... Oh, I can't remember.
There's an actual answer as in something we've got, like a flavour.
Yeah.
And then you've
like
got something.
Cinnamon.
Cinnamon, yeah.
Cinnamon, yeah.
Do you know the other answer is, it says here, it may be cinnamon, but never twice the same.
Don't you think they've, that note is in the film, isn't it? Because it looks like cinnamon, doesn't it? It looks so much like cinnamon. So they've followed that through, I think. Okay.
What are shields called, which are used to block small areas such as doors?
Don't know. Repulsors?
Pentashields.
Pentashields.
Yeah. I'm going to give you carb ones from now on, Chris, then. What was the chief export of Caladan? I'll give you a hint. It's a grain.
It's a grain, eh? Rice?
Pundi rice. I'll give you half a point for that. God bloody hell. This is not the way around I thought this would go. Alright, we'll do one more. What does, I'm not gonna say it right, but do you know, Sam, do you know what does the Kazakh Hadarach mean?
Kazakh
Hadarach. In what's it translate as, do you know?
Is it one who unite the stars? Is that it? It's like that? One who.
Chris, do you want to steal? No.
I'd just say like the chosen one or something.
It's shortening of the way.
Oh, the way. The way.
Yeah. There you go. There you go. Well, yeah, I completely misaligned that quiz. I should have just swapped it around. I was, you know, too nice to one, too mean to the other.
You know what? I wouldn't read the book because I'm not into reading like novels. Yeah. But I've been watching a lot of like YouTube. Like lore,
okay.
Videos.
You know what's a pity as well is like, and this will, we're going to get hate mail for this, but Dune isn't a very good book. That's the problem with it. Like the world building is what gets you through it.
Yeah.
It's not written very well. The sequels are written better, but like I don't blame anyone for not reading Dune because it is just not much fun. Okay. The first book.
Okay.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy because it's written as though it exists, which is cool.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But so he just drops you in it and you're like, what the fuck is going on?
This is like a history.
So it might probably be easy to read actually, having watched the films, but like.
Maybe an audio book.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
But that's kind of nice in a way. And actually, that's what I liked about the films in the sense of like, I didn't know what the fuck was going on for. And it made me think of those days when I was a kid and watching Empire Strikes Back. I didn't know what the fuck was going on.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I think that's why it's so captivating, isn't it? Because things, when someone's got the confidence and have worked out a story that much, to have the confidence to drop you in and know, it's, what's his name? The Game of Thrones bloke does it as well, where he knows the world so well that he knows he can tell a story and you'll pick it up. Yeah. Because he's got the parameters are there. You aren't going to think, you know, you aren't going to ask a question, the answer's not there. You know what I mean? Like, because they've built the boundaries so well. There's a great series of books called The Malazan Book of Fallen by a guy called Stephen Erickson, which I wish someone would film, and they won't because it's so complicated. And those books are like, they're all like over 1,000 pages long. And I think there's like over 200 different point of view characters across this series. But that guy basically spent 30 years building this universe with another bloke.
Yeah.
And so you read those and you're just like, it's as though you've got, it's an actual literal history of a thing that doesn't exist. They're so.
Like you say, it's because it's well realised. There's no like, but that doesn't make sense because they've kind of thought of everything they can.
Yeah.
Well, I will go and watch it. I will report back.
It's a pity that like part three probably is what, like 5-6 years away, which is a shame. If he's making Rendezvous with Rama first, and like Chris says, he's not even written the script yet, then it's going to
yeah, it's a way off
a while, but never mind. Cool. Well, that was Dune part two. It's getting a thumbs way up from SFRS. And next week we'll be back to watch Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. It is Dawn, isn't it? I've even watched it now and I keep forgetting still. Let us know what you think about Dune. sciencefictionratesystem@gmail.com, and we'll see you next week. Cheerio.
Bye.